6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who sat at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he kept a common purse and used it to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Nancy, it was interesting that you told how you got to do the children's sermon. Last Tuesday at staff meeting, we were going through contingency plans because we knew that Jonathan's grandmother was near death. And so he was preparing, and he had a sermon ready to go that he had planned to preach today. And then somebody said, "But what if you're not here?" And he just looked square at me and said, "John can read it." Okay, so here I am. So now I want you to use your imagination a little bit. Imagine that I'm Jonathan Warren. I know that's a stretch. Just bear with me, because these are his words that he wanted you to hear today. And I'm just his mouthpiece today. Many of you know I had the opportunity to travel to the Holy Land a few years ago. After that trip, I read the scripture with new eyes. I can picture what things really look like. I have a map in my mind that tells me how far apart things are. I know that some of you have been to the Holy Land and can visualize these scenes with me. But for those who haven't, I have some pictures to share today, and they are in the insert in the bulletin. And I invite you to follow along as I set the scene. I saw Bethany as we were driving the bus into Jerusalem. It's right near the Mount of Olives and only 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So let's start with picture one. Makes it easier to imagine if you can see him. It's a picture of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. So Bethany isn't far. In fact, I learned that the Jews, during their Shabbat, which is Sabbath, are forbidden to walk further than 2 miles. In Jacksonville, where you are sitting right here, is about 2 miles from Walmart, just to give you some perspective. We're getting ready for a wonderful meal that night following the Shabbat. It's not long after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters want to thank Jesus. They want to thank him for bringing him back to life. And so they made this extraordinary meal. If you remember, this miracle was raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, this wasn't a resuscitation of someone who had just died a few minutes before. This was 4 days later. And Jesus, in fact, had waited 2 extra days before getting there on purpose. His body was decomposing and rotting. He wasn't just a little bit dead. He was decomposing dead. There was no way that anyone could bring him back to life, unless that person was God. So Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus. by God. And after doing that, the plot for Jesus' death began because he was stirring things up. The smoke for the destruction of the temple was already rising. It was only 40 years later before the Romans completely destroyed the temple. So there was concern and animosity between the Jews and the Romans brewing. This act, raising Lazarus from the dead, along with others that Jesus would do, would be the beginning of the end for Jesus. Jesus knew he didn't have long. His disciples heard the threats. Mary heard them for sure. They all knew the path that Jesus was headed. And we all know what happened in less than a week from this night. So they're having dinner together. However, there weren't any tables and chairs like we're used to. Now, we are taught to believe that dinner was served around a big table, probably because of this, of the table in picture number 2, a very famous picture by Leonardo da Vinci of the Last Supper. This is what we think of dinner. This is what we think a dinner in Jesus' time would look like, isn't it? Well, it'd be difficult to anoint Jesus' feet around a table like this. But in picture 3, we see a table that's more like what Jesus would have eaten around. It's called a triclinium. There's 3 sides. People would recline and eat together. Their feet would be on the outside of the room, easy for anointing. Now look at picture 4. The person serving the food would be able to enter from the middle, and that's Martha. Martha could cook, so she served the food. The host would sit or recline on the end, and the host in this story is Lazarus. And the guest of honor would be seated next to him, which is Jesus. All of the rest of the guests would sit around the table. And that last spot would be reserved for the servant. And tonight, that servant is Mary. The servant would wash everyone's feet, starting with the guest of honor. Picture 5 shows how Mary thanked Jesus for bringing her brother back. She knew about the threats of his death. And it wouldn't be long. So she pours the expensive oil on his feet, the oil that's worth an entire year's salary. She wanted to thank him, and this was the only way she knew how. I hope it helps you to picture what that meal would have been like, how intimate it would have felt, that Jesus was the guest of honor, and that they would have gone completely out of their way because of how do you repay Jesus, the Messiah, for bringing the dead back to life, especially at the expense of your own life. They don't know any other way to thank him. In their home, around the table, each in their own way. How would one thank Jesus for bringing someone back from the dead? Lazarus was dead, decomposing dead. Can you imagine what you would do if that happened to you? No gift would be big enough. And that's how this family feels. So they pull out all the stops. You could imagine there's nothing, anything too big. Lazarus hosts a dinner. Martha cooks up a wonderful feast. And for Mary, there isn't anything too expensive for this occasion. And when it's her turn to be the servant of the guest of honor, she adorns and anoints Jesus Christ as King, as the Messiah. As she washes his feet and anoints Jesus with oil, she is worshiping God as King. She's thanking Jesus. She's thanking the Messiah in the best way she knows how. And yes, she's using expensive oil to share this act of worship for the Messiah, who the next day would ride on a donkey with streets adorned with palms. How often do we do this? Thank the King. Thank Jesus Christ for bringing us back from the dead. Because God, through Christ, has given us exactly that, everlasting life. What kind of worship and thanksgiving should we give for the gift of life? In this case, we shouldn't hold anything back. Just like Mary, she thanks Jesus. She thanks the Messiah, the King, for the everlasting life that her brother received. And the question I keep coming back to will be again and again, how do you thank God? Are you willing to pull out all the stops and hold nothing back to worship and to thank God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, for his life-giving love for us? To give you perspective of an act of worship and thanksgiving that Mary performs that evening, I want you to hear a story from a pastor. He says, I will never forget the furor sparked at a stewardship conference at which an ecumenical group of pastors gathered to discuss generosity. One presenter spoke about offering a gift directly to God, and the clergy began to yawn and roll their eyes. Then he pulled out a $100 bill, and he set it on fire in an ashtray and prayed, Lord, I offer this gift to you and you alone. The reaction was electric. Clergy began to fidget in their chairs, watching that greenback go up in smoke as if it were perfume. One whispered, it was illegal to burn currency. Another was heard to murmur, if he's giving money away, perhaps he has a few more. There was a nervous laughter about the room. Do you understand? Asked the speaker. I am offering it to God. And that means it's going to cease to be useful for you. It was an anxious moment. Burning a $100 bill might make you squirm, maybe as much as Judas. Think about how $100 could help the hungry. Think about how it could help our church deficit. But it was an act of worship, reserved only for God. Mary was thanking Jesus. She was anointing him as Messiah. It didn't matter what it cost. Mary pulled out all the stops. She was a simple servant, thanking Jesus. Thanking him for the life-giving gift he gave to Lazarus. Thanking him for the life-giving gift he gives to each of us. It would never be enough for what Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, was about to do for her and for us. That's what I leave you with this morning. How are you going to thank Jesus, the Messiah, for this incredible gift? You, a simple servant, thanking Jesus.